Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge. And Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Let you hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn before we get out of here as well. Pretty reflective show here, man, as we continue to look at the 2024 season for the Washington Commanders. A lot to be excited about when you think about the future of this franchise moving forward. And I can't help but think, though, as fresh as it is, right, the team just lost a little over 24 hours ago. The way that they lost is what is still not sitting right with me. Four turnovers, three fumbles, not the way that you survive in advance in the postseason, especially going up against what I consider the best roster in the National Football League. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find our guy Solomon Wilcox, one of my absolute favorites, the co-host of the opening drive on Sirius XM NFL Radio. If you all remember listening to him on NFL on CBS for years, Solly, always good catching up with you, my friend. I appreciate you making some time for us.
Linnell, it's been a while. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate you.
No problem, man. I got to start here. You have spent a lot of time in a lot of different locker rooms throughout the course of your career. When you take a look at the 2024 Washington Commanders, although it stung yesterday, losing in the fashion that they went out in, what would be your messaging moving forward if you were a leader in that locker room?
Is that, hey, now we realize what the next level of this thing is. You know, their success came rapidly. It came very quickly after throwing a bunch of players together, rookie quarterback, first-year coach, first-year GM, first-year owner, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's a lot happening rather quickly, but at least they were able, I think, to set a standard that they can hold one another to, that this is what's accepted. But yet, it cannot be taken for granted because you do have to start over. We remember the Houston Texans 1 year ago.
Right.
And the Texans, by and large, won more games this year than they did last year. They went about as deep in the postseason as they did last year. But for whatever reason, their accomplishments this year is not seen in the same light. And I think that's what the Commanders need to take away, is that we can't take this for granted, and that we've got to be willing to go back and put in the work to reach this far and go even further. But at the end of the day, understand that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough road. And they just got to prepare themselves for the hard grind of what's really required to win. They know that, but you and I both know the second, right, third, and fourth time gets to be even more difficult and more challenging.
Yeah, and it's the beauty and the ugly part about professional sports. You know, that team will never be replicated ever again. There will only be one 2024 Washington Commanders football team. They'll have a bunch of guys depart via free agency, retirement, you name it. And then in turn, they'll bring a bunch of different guys in. Looking at it big picture, though, when you look at the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, now there's a little bit of a bias that you have, Solly, towards Joey B out in Cincinnati. I'm being facetious, obviously, when I say that. But do you think, Solomon, after 1 year, it is fair to put Jaden Daniels in that conversation with your Joe Burrows, your Josh Allens, your Lamar Jacksons, your Mahomes?
I'm inclined to, but I wouldn't do that because I think it would be unfair to him.
Yeah.
I do think there are stages, there are levels to this, right? And while he did play at a very high level this season, and I thought rather consistently, he can still get better. And I think as we progress, he gets into year 4 and 5, he's going to look at year 1 and 2 and say, well, man, I didn't realize how little I did know, because he's so successful. It's kind of masked as to maybe some of those things that he can still improve upon and get better. A win-loss record for a team or the depth in which you go into the postseason is not indicative of just how good the quarterback really is. We keep trying to tell people the NFL is about the team. It's not about just the quarterback. This isn't a Hollywood movie where the leading actor is the quarterback and it's all about him and everyone else is there to kind of, you know, be a supporting role. I know we package the game that way. We sell it that way. But in that locker room, it's not that way. And that building is not that way. And I think even in the mind of Jay Daniels, he knows it's not that way. The quarterback needs everyone else's help just to have a shot at winning the game. So I think as the years start to go forward, quarterbacks really start to hit that rhythm where they, oh, I can see everything. I know it all. Right around year six, I think they'll all tell you that. Right around five, six, and seven. Some maybe earlier. But even Mahomes, he will tell you, started to play his best ball over the last 2 to 3 years. And Tom Brady will tell you the same thing. So I'm not putting him on that level yet, but there's no doubt he's trending in that direction. And he's set to arrive rather quickly.
Let's take a look ahead at the Super Bowl while we have some time. I continue to be impressed, Solomon, with just the way that the architect, Howie Roseman, has put together this Philadelphia Eagles team. He is a believer of the trenches. They have, for my money, the best offensive line in football, and I don't think there are a handful of D-lines that you would put ahead of them. In terms of how difficult it is, you being a former defensive back, understanding how hard it is to defend the run when you've got to account for the quarterback, is this quarterback running back duo of Hurts and Saquon Barkley the most deadly and lethal that maybe we've seen in the history of this sport?
Yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
But there's levels to it, like you said. Derrick Henry is a great back. Saquon Barkley is a generational back. Who's still in his prime, I would say.
But they both are, right? They both are generational, and nobody was saying, look, I was saying these things about Saquon last year. A lot of people weren't. I didn't need to see the 2,000 yards for me to say, I watched Saquon Barkley in a game at Ohio State in college. He was playing at Penn State. I watched him return the opening kickoff. I was like, who is this dude who's got the thighs of Earl Campbell but runs like Barry Sanders? You don't find that package rare. It was, I've been sort of singing from the rooftop when people were saying running backs are just a dime a dozen. You can get one in the seventh round. I said, you can't get one of those.
Right, yeah.
In the seventh round. They're all not equal, but the truly great ones are great. And Derek Henry's in that category. Christian McCaffrey's in that category. No doubt Saquon Barkley's in that category. And I didn't need this year or this season to validate that for me. I think a lot of others did. I think a lot of others are late to arrive. And the analytical community still don't want to believe what they see. This guy is different.
Yeah.
And so when you have the kind of ability that he has, and what a keen guy he is, by the way.
Right.
But when you have a special package and a running back like him, there's no way you're going to pass on a player like Saquon Barkley. And the Giants are regretting it every single day. So when people tell me, hey, you don't take a running back in the first round, I'm like, look, you tell me who that running back is. If Walter Payton was coming out today, you still take him in the first round. If Jim Brown was coming out today, you still take him in the first round. Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, you still taking them in the first round.
Yes, Ollie. Look, you hit it right on the head. I mean, you can talk about your seventh round back, but you ain't finding one of those guys in the seventh round. Solly, while we got you here, my friend, I know you wanted to talk about something that's very near and dear to your heart, the partnership with you and Vericel.
Yeah, Linnell, look, as an aging former player.
Well, you was nice, Solly. Don't try to downplay it now. Solomon Wilcox is out there laying the wood.
Hey, Linnell, I just had my 60th birthday in October. Time flies, man, but I'm feeling good.
Yes, sir.
I'm feeling good. But, I love to ski. I still play basketball when I can, and obviously golf is something I do a little bit more than I do some of those other things because you can pretty much play all year round. But, knee pain and chronic knee pain is a reality for a large, vast portion of our population. But there's a new procedure that has already been approved by the FDA It's already being used on former athletes, current athletes, when it comes to cartilage repair. If you have damaged knees or damaged cartilage, there was a time all you had to do, they would take it all out because that's all they could do. And next thing you know, you're rubbing bone on bone. But now they have a process. It's called MACI, M-A-C-I, where they can go in and take the healthy tissue that you have and they grow it in a lab. And then they go back in arthroscopically where there's very small incision with an arthroscopic procedure. And they can reinsert it in there. It adheres to the healthy tissue and to the bone. And it keeps you from deteriorating to where you're rubbing bone on bone. But it's a very innovative treatment. It's already been approved by the FDA. And you can go to the website at MACI.com, M-A-C-I.com, to read up more about this new innovative treatment to repair cartilage damage in the knee.
Solly is a young man that has torn his ACL three different times. I'm just 27, but down the line, I'm sure the folks over at Vericel definitely and Marcy can help a guy like me out as well. Solly, I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend.
All right, go to the website, take a look at it, because yeah, you're gonna be needing it.
I'm about to say, look.
You're in good hands, though. You're in good hands.
For sure. Solly, thank you, man. Big fan of your work, as always, brother. That is Solomon Wilcox. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out on Sirius XM Radio. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More Overtime here on The Fan. Big thank you to our guy Solomon Wilcox joining us in the last segment. If you missed any of that, download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature. Go to the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Always good. Catching up with Solly. Want to go back out to the phone lines. Elijah is in D.C. What's up, Elijah? Elijah, you got to be ready for prime time, man. You're never not ready, brother.
Yo, man, my bad. I had you on mute.
About to say, Elijah, come on now. Be ready for prime time, man.
Yeah, we know how we do, big dog.
Man, how you doing?
I'm super excited, man. I'm super excited for the squad, man. I was thinking of, like, the end of 300, you know, when it's like they all went out on their shield, but at the same time, the get back, like, did you see, like, the wave of, like, you know, everything that happened for everybody, like, the amount of free agents that's going to flock here, the amount of draft capital, I think it's going to be an amazing next season for the Commanders. Man, I'm super excited for, like, what's to come. So, like, man, we get that defense happening. We get Jaden some more weapons, man. We're going to be in good shape. So I just think we just got to, you know, review the season. I think everyone's going to grow. The team is getting better. Everyone's getting stronger. We can't, you know, we can't lose. Our window is opening. We took one step.
Yep.
One step, and we got to the NFC Championship, and we galvanized an entire fan base. And you can't underestimate that. I'm looking on in D.C. on the buses. They got Go Commanders when you walk into a town. When is the last time have you seen our logo, man, on the
different
buses? That's what it's about, man.
It's different.
It's about the opportunities. It's about prime time. Prime time games. We're excited, man. So everyone is bought in. They got fans. You see little five-year-old kids walking around with JD5 jerseys. That's who this is for, man. You know, it's going to be the next generation. They're going to have experiences that's like, man, you know, we're in good shape. So appreciate you taking my call, dog.
Elijah, appreciate you calling as always, brother. Look, I think everybody locally feels the exact same way. I'm glad that we're all on the same page. I addressed 1% of the fan base, and I'm going to be kind to us as a fan base. I addressed 1% of the fan base earlier when I said if you want Joe Witt Jr. to get fired, you probably should take your head out of your ass. I think that's just 1% of you that feel that way. I'm not going to allow some of the idiot fans to color my perspective of the entire fan base. Because let's just be real about it. I continue to believe that this team has the right mix of coaches and people within the building. That's one of the first things I said when I came back from watching this team during OTAs and mandatory minicamp. They have the right people within the building. And Dan Quinn kind of alluded to it earlier today. they put a big staff together because they knew guys would get poached. So they are developing not only players, but coaches as well. And there are a couple of names that are assistants that may get, you know, move into more prominent roles. David Blau, Washington's assistant quarterback coach, is someone that many folks around the NFL believe is a rising star. Washington's quarterbacks coach, Tavita Pritchard. Think about this with Tavita. Tavita was a part of last year's staff, right? So for them to think highly enough of Tavita to bring him back, and you see the impact that he had on Jaden Daniels. We only talk about Cliff, but Tavita, a seismic impact as well. It just shows you they've got depth within their coaching staff. So I'm excited to see how they continue to grow and develop. David Harrison brought it up, and I spoke about it last night on television. Like, they need an impact player within their front four, and I think the entire defense as a whole improves because of that. I see all the comments out there on Twitter about Marshawn Lattimore and how you're having buyer's remorse. Can we get a full offseason with him here first before you all start to crucify the guy? Adam Peters and Dan Quinn addressed the media today during locker cleanout day. We will let you hear from that next. What is next for the Burgundy and Gold? Adam Peters and Dan Quinn get you up to speed next.